Some call the 121st Psalm the soldier song. Can you imagine if we had all our people gathered today in this house and we commenced our worship with the singing of the 121st Psalm? Some believe it's called the soldier song. And you went home to your friends and you said, do you know in church today, in the Free Church, they sung the soldier song? The soldier song is also the national anthem of the Irish Republic. And I know that there are many who would not sing that national anthem. They would rather sing the United Kingdom one. But can you imagine going home to your friends and those that maybe are critics of the Free Church and saying to them, even in the workplace, you know, yesterday in our church, we sung the soldier song. I wonder what they would think. You see, some people believe that this psalm was penned in the camp when David was endangering his life before Saul, whenever he was persecuted, whenever he was pursued, whenever he was hounded by Saul, who envied and hated him and was jealous of him and knew that one day he would be king. And he sought to stop that and he sought to kill David on numerous occasions. David even said, and he concluded, there's but a step between me and death. I only have to wake up in the morning and choose the wrong direction and just put one foot in front of the other and it takes me in that direction and I'll meet my enemy and he'll slay me. In fact, on one occasion, he says, it is enough. I've had enough. I'm just going to run away into the Philistines area because one day Saul will kill me. And some believe that the psalm was written by David whenever he was in the camp with his men and he was being hounded and he was crying to God for help and the preservation and the keeping of his life and the covering, as Wesley said, of his defenseless head in the day of trouble. Some have even suggested the psalm belongs to Hezekiah. And we just finished the Psalm 46, which we believed was penned by Hezekiah. Some believe that this Psalm 121 is a companion psalm to Psalm 46 and was penned on the occasion of the siege of Jerusalem by the Assyrian army. And some even believe it was written by Hezekiah. Well, others, and I'm in this group, others believe it should be called the Traveler's Psalm, the Pilgrim's Song. In other words, it was penned for the apprehensive traveler as he, along with his family, traveled or journeyed on the road to Jerusalem for the many feast days. You see, there was a command under the old Jewish economy in the Old Testament for families to gather on certain occasions in the city of Jerusalem whereby they would worship as a complete nation. And families would have traveled for some of those great feast days, and no doubt the feast of Passover, that Day of Atonement, and so on and so on. And they would have made their journey from the various parts of Israel, and they would have traveled up to Jerusalem to worship with their brethren and to celebrate those great feasts of Israel. I do believe in my heart, and I am convinced that the title of the psalm is not the soldier's song. I don't believe it belongs to Hezekiah or is a companion psalm with Psalm 46. I believe, rightly so, it is the traveler's psalm. And the very context and the words suggest to us that it belongs to those that make their journey to Jerusalem to worship God. It's my personal choice and an opinion that I have that it was penned for those weary travelers who are journeying to Jerusalem. However, spiritually, the psalm belongs to the church. Whether they're on the march militarily, or whether they're on their journey to heaven and the holy city, the New Jerusalem, I believe traveling through a hostile and an unfriendly world, we have a companion psalm. We have the song of the church. We have the prayer of the saint and the weary traveler. So I believe it's rightly called the Traveler's Psalm. And what a beautiful companion psalm we have for our comfort and our encouragement as we journey from the cross, the place where we were saved, to glory, to heaven. Isn't it wonderful to know that you have a companion, that you have a friend, that you have a prayer, that you have a song, that you have the Traveler's Psalm, that you have the pilgrim song to sing, because that's exactly what Psalm 121 is. The Jews would have gathered and the Israelites would have gathered in their families before they made the journey. And they would have taken Psalm 121 and they would either sung the psalm together as a family before they left home, or else they would have read the psalm. I have no doubt those that were deeply and profoundly religious and they had a devotion, they would have literally awakened every morning, because some of those families that traveled, remember this, they traveled from huge parts of the country and they had huge distances to make to go to Jerusalem, and it was fraught with danger. And they had to sleep out in the open air, and they had to pitch their tents, and they had to bring most of their belongings and their family with them. And it was very dangerous for them. And there were enemies in the country. And there were those that were evil. There were bandits. There were robbers. And they were exposed to many dangers, as we will see in a moment or two in the psalm. But I want to tell you this, that the psalm became a prayer every single day. And I would suggest to you as a family that before you embark on any journey, before you would ever leave your house, before you would ever travel anywhere, never mind spiritually to heaven, that you would take time to read the 121st Psalm. That you would pray over it. That even if you wanted to, you would sing it together as a family. I to the hills will lift mine eyes. From whence doth come mine aid? And I trust that you will make it your song and your prayer before you would embark on any journey, because we're living in a hostile and an unfriendly world. And our Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John 16:33, in the world ye shall have tribulation. Of course, we're encouraged in that same verse to be of good cheer, for the Lord has overcome the world. But how true that is, and you know it. We face many dangers, trials, and hardships, and we're exposed to many enemies in this world. But isn't it good to know that the psalm assures us of God's love, God's care, God's protection as we travel along the difficult road home to heaven? The Lord has not left us without comfort. We're not in the dark, so to speak. We're not left to ourselves. I want to tell you something. We have light for our path. We are given many promises in the psalm to inspire trust and confidence in the Lord. So come with me now, and we will meditate upon the psalm briefly. And I believe that we will find a companion psalm to help us as we journey as strangers and pilgrims in this world from earth to glory. Firstly, I want you to consider that in the psalm we have an all-sufficient helper. Look what it says there in verses 1 and 2, and it has to be read like this. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence? From whereabouts? From what place will come my help? And then an answer is given to the very question. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. It's the traveler's psalm. And what was happening, I believe, it gives us the picture, and I want you to see this, of the pilgrim, of the traveler, traveling with his family. And that family is depending upon perhaps the father figure or a few sons that have a little muscle and they are able to fight to defend the entire family and all their possessions. And as they made their journey, there were hills and there were little cliffs and there were other secluded places they had to travel through. And as they looked ahead, because that's how they traveled, they looked ahead and they scanned the hills, because hidden in the cleft of those rocks or behind those shrubs or in those trees, there were robbers, there were bandits. They would have cast huge stones down upon the family. They would have shot arrows at them. They would have jumped at them. They would have blocked the road and then hemmed them in, and they would have killed them and robbed them of all their possessions. And here's what's happening in the psalm, and that's why I believe it belongs to the traveler's psalm. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. I will scan the hillside. I will watch. I will look for movement up ahead. And then looking and fearing that I might see some robbers or bandits, I will have to ask myself, from whence cometh my help? I'm the father figure. I'm the one that have to protect my family, and I couldn't do it. Whereabouts is my help? And then the answer comes, my help cometh from the Lord. I'm trusting in Him as I journey to Jerusalem. I'm going there at His command. He has commanded me to travel. He has instructed me in His word to be in Jerusalem and to make that journey. And I'm obeying the Lord, and I'm in the way of the Lord, and I'm going up to worship God at Jerusalem. And as a result of that, my help will come from the Lord. He'll be with me. The way was fraught with many dangers. One of them, no doubt, the peril of being robbed and killed along the way. We'll mention some others later on. But some of those well-trodden trails were through mountains and hills and ranges. Excellent cover for robbers and bandits to hide themselves and then attack. And that pilgrim family would constantly be looking and scanning the rock faces and the hills where the danger lurked for fear of attack. Aye, and death was a constant worry and companion. And verse 1 and 2, I believe, is a reference to that very scene. And as their eyes scanned, as I said to you, and they looked for movement up ahead, their hearts would cry out, literally like this, if robbers do appear, and we are attacked and we are threatened, who will help us? We have no army with us. We have no armor upon us. We don't even have any weaponry among us. We're not skilled in battle. Who will help us? Who will fight for us? Who will defend us? That's exactly what they were saying. And then they were encouraged as they made the journey to have faith in God. And then to answer the question and to address their fears and even to speak to their family and to their little children that were fearful. Daddy, at night, what if danger comes? What if they attack at night? What if I'm sleeping in that little tent and I'm tucked up alongside mommy and they break in? What's going to happen to me, Daddy? And they would say, son, our help cometh from the Lord, which remember made all things and therefore is in control of all things. Our help comes from the Lord. Now, such a psalm would have been sung or read before any journey was made. And I think in the morning time, and I believe in the evening time, that psalm would also have been sung and that psalm would have been read. Now, can I say to you as a believer that you are a pilgrim and you are a traveler and you are a stranger in this world? Paul reminds us, and I believe Paul wrote the epistle to the Hebrews. He reminds us in that great chapter on the heroes of faith, and he gives a very list of individuals, and then he gives a list of a collective body of individuals who were put to death for their faith in Christ. And he said this, these all died in faith and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And that's exactly what we are. We are pilgrims. And we're going home to glory. We're like Abraham, and we're of the seed of Abraham by faith. And we're traveling to heaven. This world is not our home. And we should never put our tent pegs down too deep into this world. Because very soon we have to uplift those tent pegs. Do you remember that Abraham? Do you remember that Jacob and others? They were pilgrims and they lived in tents. There was only once, I believe it was, in the life of Jacob when he actually built a house. And it was forbidden by God for him to have a permanent dwelling. Did you know that? And he was never to build a house. And he built a house. And then he moved out of that house and he moved back into the tent because he was a pilgrim. He confessed that he was a pilgrim. Now listen to me. Don't you be selling your house and buying a gazebo. Don't you be selling your house and buying a tent. It might be good weather now. We're not saying that. But it is a spiritual confession that this world is not my home. Don't make your home in the world. You're a spiritual pilgrim. You're a traveler. And you have a home in heaven. And that's where your home is. And that's where your treasure is. That's where your heart ought to be. And I want to tell you something. We are believers, we're strangers, we're pilgrims on this earth, and we're different from other people, and it's the grace of God only that makes us different. And Psalm 121 is our pilgrim's song. It's our prayer to God. It's the traveler's psalm. And as we journey through this old world of sin and trouble, there are many dangers, toils, and snares. But remember, we have an all-sufficient helper on the journey of life. And there's help for you today, Christian. Do not be afraid. The Lord is thy helper. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. It's not someone who is weak and insufficient. I want to tell you, there's not a need that you have is greater than your God. And if your God has created this entire earth, and you don't need all of that creative power in your life to meet your need, if He's done that already, He's well able to give you the help that you need. My help, that's an interesting word. In the Hebrew, it has a variety of meanings. I want to tell you something. It's so vast that you could not cover it in our English version. It's translated in different ways throughout the entire Bible. And one of those ways, remarkably, is the word Savior. It's the word Savior. It points us to Christ. And through Christ, the mediator, God will help you. God is duty bound to help you. The Lord is your helper. Just as God is holy, and we don't deny that, just as God is righteous, just as God is love, just as we believe God is merciful, so God is your help. That's what He is. He exists as your help. He is your help today. He is your help tomorrow. And He will be your help forevermore. Whatever help you need, and it doesn't matter, express your need now. That's the help you will be given. Whatever need you have, this word help covers it. And I haven't time to go through, and I have looked at many, the variety of translations and meanings of this word help and where it's translated. And we do what is known as an Englishman's search of the Hebrew, and we discover how it's translated by our authorized translators. Whenever they translated the authorized version, they took this word help and they saw such a variety of meanings, and they kept it in its context and they used it, and you wouldn't recognize it in the English. You just wouldn't recognize it's the same word. But in the Hebrew, it's exactly the same word. But translated in the English, it's given such a variety of meanings. It even means Savior, deliver, save, help in every sense of the word. In other words, it covers every need. There's no other word needed in the Hebrew. It's a sufficient word. It's a word that really covers every single need we have. This is the word, help. And my help, my need, will be met by my God. And I will prove Him. And He will vindicate me. And He will glorify His name. From whence cometh my help? Whereabouts is my help? It's not in my friends. It's not in society. It's not in programs of men. It's not in counselors. It's not in any other system. I want to tell you, our help comes from the Lord. And if we're not helped of God, we find help nowhere else. It's powerful help, for it says it comes from the Lord which made heaven and earth. I want to tell you it's present help, and we looked at that, didn't we? In Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And it's promised help. God has promised it. Fear thou not. Isaiah 41:10, verse 13, verse 14 as well, and elsewhere in Scripture. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Child of God, what is your need today? What is it that you need help with? What kind of help do you require? Well, I want to tell you, Whatever it is, it comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So today, why don't you ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. He'll carry you through life's journey. Every heavy burden, He will gladly share. Are you sad? Are you weary? Jesus has a care. Well, He knows the pathway o'er life's burning sands. Courage, fainting pilgrim, Jesus understands. Yes, He understands. All His ways are best. Here He calls to you. Come to Me and rest. Leave the unknown future, your journey to glory, fraught with many dangers, toils, and snares. Leave the unknown future in the Master's hand. Whether sad or joyful, Jesus understands. So lift up your eyes today. Lift up the eyes of your faith and look to the Lord. He is an all-sufficient helper, and He will see you through. He will aid you, and He will carry you on your journey. Secondly, I want you to consider that we not only have an all-sufficient helper, but you notice in verses 3-5, we have an all-powerful keeper. Now that's vitally important. An all-powerful keeper. Not only was there the danger of bandits and robbers, but there was the peril of very narrow paths along cliff edges whereby you were barely able to take a cart and mule through with your family sitting on top of your belongings. And you can see the scene, the mule. Its feet could easily slip because there's loose rocks and there are pebbles there. And your foot could go, and if the foot of the animal or the foot of the human being slips, the whole body goes with it. Isn't that what Bunyan preached whenever hundreds of souls were saved in his great sermon called The Groans of a Damned Soul in Hell? And when he preached about that, and he spoke on those words, their foot shall slide in due time. And the Bible says, because it's true, if you're on a slippery surface, if it's frosty, if there's ice, or if there's gravel, and once your foot goes, your whole body goes with it. And you have to have a sure standing. You have to be kept. You have to be watched over. For not only was there the danger of robbers and bandits, the Lord will help us. But there are those little narrow, perilous ways and paths that they had to traverse in order to get to Jerusalem. Some of them barely had the width of a cart and the mule. Add to that alongside the hillside paths, there were loose stones, and one slip could plunge children and possessions, and even yourself, to death below. I want to tell you, but in the traveler's psalm, we have the provision and power of an all-powerful keeper. Look what it says there in verse 3 of Psalm 121. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Do you see the context? He that keepeth thee will not slumber. The Lord is thy keeper. Or behold, he that keepeth thee shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Now, do you see that? You see, it's so hard to watch children. And the father could be watching the cart and the mule. He could be watching some of his servants. He could be saying to his wife, be careful, be careful. But some of the children, they're running about. Some of them are throwing stones down and hearing the echo below. And they're running and they're slipping past maybe the cart, and they're just on the edge. And the father's shouting, be careful. Children, be careful. Watch. But he couldn't watch them all. But God has an eye upon the whole family, and He watches over us. I want to tell you something. He's able to keep your feet from falling. He's able to keep our hearts from fainting, isn't He? He's able to keep us safe and secure so that trial and temptation would not prevail over us. We would not slip to our death and not lose our faith, as some call it, and I don't believe that's possible. Even persecution of a godless world would not overcome us. And the pitfalls of sin and Satan will never destroy us, because we have and we lift our eyes not only to an all-sufficient helper today, but to an all-powerful keeper. We have all-round protection and a constant keeper that neither slumbers nor sleeps. It was C.H. Spurgeon who has written an actual hymn based on this illustration, this true story, and see it Spurgeon quotes in one of his sermons, this very illustration, this true story, and he actually wrote a hymn. We don't sing it, I know, but he wrote a hymn, a poem that could easily be set to music, and we could be singing it in our churches, and we would have the right to, and we could put it to music. And the illustration, the true story, it goes like this, and I give you the first verse of that poem or hymn. In the days of sailing vessels, a captain from Liverpool commanded a sailing vessel to travel to New York. On one of those voyages, he chose to bring his family, and they went with him. During the night, however, when everyone was asleep, a storm arose, and it struck the vessel, throwing the vessel literally on its side, so that everything in that boat literally shifted, passengers and all. Everything inside the ship tumbled and crashed. The passengers awoke in great fear and imminent danger. Every single person on board was worried. Many of the passengers sprang from their berths and began to dress so they might be ready for the worst. The captain's 8-year-old daughter was on board and awoke with the other passengers. She cried out to some, "What's the matter?" The frightened child pleaded, "What's the matter?" They told her that a storm had struck the ship. And she said this, I quote, "Is my father on deck?" They said, "Yes, your father is on the deck." And that little girl dropped back on the pillow, and without a fear in the world, in just a few moments, she was fast asleep, simply because she believed that all would be well for our Father. Her father was on the deck. And child of God, you never forget that your heavenly Father is in control. Your Father is on the deck. He's in control of all things that are going on in your life right now. And therefore, what have we to fear when our Father's at the helm? When our Father's on deck, whatever storms of life may throw up to you, whatever changes God may allow and permit in His permissive will to happen in your life, whether you fear they're evil or good, our Father is at the helm. Our Heavenly Father's on deck. And Spurgeon penned these words of that poem or hymn, as we would like to call it. Fear not the windy tempest wild, thy bark or thy ship they shall not wreck. Lie down and sleep, O helpless child. Thy Father's on the deck. What a tremendous poem it is. We're commanded to lift our eyes today to an all-sufficient helper, your God, and an all-powerful keeper, your God. Honor Him today. One who will hedge us about. One who will be a wall of fire around us. And we mentioned on Tuesday night, that's what He made Jeremiah, a defense city, an iron pillar, and brazen walls. He was not only the weeping prophet and the praying prophet, but I want to tell you, He was the iron pillar prophet. He was the brazen wall prophet, and He was the defense city prophet. Rightful names of Jeremiah, the prophet. Lift up your eyes, child of God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, and see Him today as your all-sufficient helper. That's what the word help means, Savior. And all-powerful keeper is able to keep us from falling and our heart from fainting. Thirdly and finally, consider we have an ever-present comforter. Look at verses 5 through 8. It reads so beautifully. The psalm expresses everything we would want to hear from the Lord today. It says, the Lord is thy keeper. Look at verse 5. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. That fearful and helpless traveler with his family, he would need some assurance and comfort before he would ever take his family on such a hazardous journey to Jerusalem. You remember what it was said by Pharaoh in his compromises that he offered to Moses? Did he not say, who then will go and worship your God? God had specifically commanded they were to go 3 days' journey. He compromised on that. You should read the compromises of Pharaoh. Maybe I will preach on it in the gospel. The compromises of Pharaoh. And he sought to compromise with the commands of God to go and worship him. 3 days' journey. And then they were not only to go 3 days' journey, but they were to take all their families with them. And then they were to take their livestock with them and so on and so on. And they were all to go. I want to tell you something. One of the compromises was offered was this. Who shall go with you? Who shall go? Are you going to take your children on this hazardous journey? Are you going to bring your children 3 days out into the wilderness where there's no food, no water, and there's danger, there's scorpions, there's snakes out there, there are wild beasts out there. There's no doubt there are travelers out there who will look for an opportunity to rob you and kill you. I want to tell you, it's a very dangerous journey. You see to it, evil's before you. And what he meant was evil for the children. You wouldn't bring them into the burning sun. You wouldn't expose them to the moon. Now, I don't know scientifically. I don't know for sure, but I would suggest that those who constantly lie under the moon at night, and remember, we have the word lunatic, reference to the mind, coming from the word lunar, meaning moon, moonstruck, as well as literally sunstroke. You can have moonstroke as well. And there's no doubt it affects the minds. I don't know scientifically how it works or whether that's accurate or not, but we do know that there are occasions whenever the moon has affected the mind, and no doubt the sun affects the body. Sunstroke, moonstroke. And remember this, that's exactly what's being referred to in the psalm. Having lain out in the open air, under the open canopy of heaven, the burning rays of the sun through the day. And remember, no sun creams in those days. And then the moon by night. There were dangerous times. And I want to tell you this, when Pharaoh said that, he offered the compromise. And no doubt whatsoever the devil might say to the weary pilgrim, you're going to Jerusalem and you're bringing your family with you. Would you bring them, those children on that hazardous journey? It may take you 6 days. It may take you 2 weeks to get to Jerusalem on foot. And you're going to drag your family with you on this pilgrimage. Of course you are. How could we leave our children behind? There's a spiritual picture, I believe. I don't want to go to heaven alone. I want my children with me. I don't want to leave them with Pharaoh in the world's arms. Pharaoh's a type of the devil. Could I go happily to heaven with my children sitting in the lap of the devil? No. Was it not the case whenever that one of the sons of Jacob said to Joseph, his brother, he didn't know at the time in Egypt, how can I go to my father and the lad be not with me? How could I go? What would I ever say? And that's exactly, I feel there's a picture there. You would want assurance. You would want comfort to know that your children would be safe, that they would come with you even on the rigorous journey to glory. But let me move into the context of the psalm, having digressed slightly. The psalm furnishes us, I believe, with that which is necessary to comfort and to encourage and to reassure us as we travel to glory. There's the comfort of God's presence. Look what it says in verse 5. The Lord's not only your keeper, but he's thy shade upon thy right hand. I want to tell you something. When the shadow's cast, it means the person's near. You look at your shadow today, and if someone's standing inside your shadow, they're within touch and reaching distance. They're not millions of miles away. They're not at a distance from you. He's your shade. That is, it's a wonderful thing whenever you've no hat on, like myself on a hot day, and you're literally cooking. It's a wonderful thing to get underneath a tree and to get the shade of that tree. I want to tell you that when you're in the shadow of something or someone, you're near to that thing. You're near to that person. And here's what the Lord says he is to you today. He'll be your shade. I do believe that it literally means he'll be present with you on this journey. You'll not travel alone. There's the comfort of God's presence. Verse 5, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Christ will be to his dear people as he's prophesied to be in the book of Isaiah, an hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Your Savior will be to you like the spreading of a great tree. that shades you from the burning heat and then refreshes your body and your soul. And when the burning rays of the sun of trial and affliction pour down upon your head, the Lord will interpose to be a shade to cover your defenseless head. It really means Christ will be ever present, always with you, at your right hand. He will be by your side, and as such he will protect you and preserve and shield you from the heat of the fiery trial. The duration of Christ's presence, I'll tell you, verse 6, day and night, the sun by day, the moon by night. Do you see it? It speaks of that full day, life's day, and the end of that day, as we heard in the children's address. When death comes or the Lord returns, Christ will help you, keep you, comfort you. That's the teaching of the psalm. That's the doctrine of the pilgrim's song, the traveler's psalm. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. He had the comfort of God's presence. And then there's a final thought here under that title, an ever-present comforter. You have the comfort of God's preservation. Notice what it says twice over, the Lord shall preserve thee. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. Remember, child of God, nothing that we have in this world is safe. We've seen that during the coronavirus. Everything that people held dear, even everything they ever worked for in life and built up in life financially, most of it has come to an end, an abrupt end. Hoteliers that gloried in their great extensions and their promise of the great comfort of a hotel room and the spa and all the treatment and all the refreshing of your body and all the relaxation, it's gone. It's gone. People's works may never be restored again. It's true. They may lose their entire business. It's true. It's sad. And our hearts go out to them. And if we had the means, we would help you. I really mean that. Financially, it's gone. Remember, everything we have in this world, it's never safe from attack and from the enemy. Unless the Lord preserves for us these things, then everything else will not suffice. It is almighty wisdom that directs your path, not your own counsel. It's almighty power that guards the door of our lives and keeps the evil out and the enemy at bay. It is almighty grace that is sufficient to keep us from falling and preserve our body and soul. And it's almighty love and compassion that will supply our every need. Therefore today, remember, without Christ, we can do nothing. Without Christ, we are nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things. For He is our all-sufficient helper. He's our all-powerful keeper. He's our ever-present comforter. Therefore, we will be helped, we will be kept, and we will be comforted. For this is the doctrine. This is the teaching of the psalm. O pilgrim, pilgrim bound for the heavenly land, never lose sight of Jesus. He leads you gently with loving hand. Never lose sight of Jesus. So pray today. And I pray today that you will know the help of God. For our help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth.